This segment, we're going to talk about magic. Were you guys into magic as a kid? I remember I got one Christmas or birthday. Do you remember the top hat? It was a toy for kids, the magic top hat. And it was, I think, a plastic top hat. And it came with a deck of cards and a couple of, you know, magic tricks for kids in there. And a magic wand. And I thought it was the greatest thing. And I thought I was a magician. And then about a week later, I realized I couldn't execute any of these.
Yeah. It's almost like in magic, it's all about the execution.
It's almost like that. Did you guys ever want to be a magician?
Oh, yes. I think, isn't every kid obsessed with magic at one point and gets like the magic kit or a magic trick, trick deck?
Yeah. I don't think Giorgio would trick or treat. Not like you guys were. No, I was not that into it.
You never wanted to dazzle your friends with magic?
Not really.
I can't remember specifically what the incident was, but I'm sure at some point I saw a magician. And when you are a kid and you see a magician do a routine, it is the most incredible thing you've ever seen in your life. Talk about like an in-person magician.
Oh, yeah,
like
I
for
still
a kid's birthday party or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just want to learn how to do those kinds of things. And I'm still, even as an adult, we had that magician that came in studio with us at our old studio. Remember?
Yep.
And he did some tricks for us that just blew my mind.
Yeah. Oh, I still like a good trick. We were talking about this earlier at a golf tournament a few years ago. Dale Hansen gets this guy to... You gotta see this. And he does this card trick, you know, pick a card and goes through and you put it back in the pile and he shuffles it around. And then he does something with his hands and he hits it with his hands and the card flies up almost like it's shot out of a gun and sticks to the ceiling. He goes, "That's your card?" "Yeah, son of a gun, that's my card." And then Dale dies laughing and runs off.
It's incredible.
It's the best card trick I've ever seen.
You can't figure out how he does it.
No. I mean, it just shoots up there. Just that alone. Forget the fact that it's my card. How does he get it to do that?
I was always annoyed with the magician's code of ethics. That they won't reveal their tricks.
Right.
It's so frustrating.
Speaking of that, article in the New York Times. Have you heard of the British magician David Burgless?
No.
He's now 94. Back in the 1940s... he became famous because of his trick known as the Holy Grail of card magic.
That's what he called it?
And that's what they call it in the industry. This is considered the greatest card trick, and nobody can figure it out. And so this reporter went to visit Burglass in his home in the United Kingdom.
His assisted living home.
His assisted living home, and asked him, "Can you tell me about this trick?" And it's a version of the any card at any number trick. In the world of magic, these are ACANs, A-C-A-A-N, any card at any number.
What does that mean?
A spectator is asked to name any card in a deck, let's say the nine of clubs. Another spectator is asked to name any number between 1 and 52, the number of cards in a deck, let's say 31. So now you have one spectator say nine of clubs, the other one says 31. The cards are then dealt face up one by one. The 31st card revealed is, of course, the nine of clubs. So at some point...
Well, he's just dealing. He's dealing from the bottom. He's doing a false shuffle or something.
At some point, the magician touches the cards in these ACANs. The touch might be very tiny, can't perceive it. It might appear entirely innocent, but the cards are always touched. But where Burglass was separated from all the other magicians, he never touched the cards. He would place the cards on the table, and he didn't handle them again until after the revelation and during the applause.
Okay, that's freaky.
Yes. No sleight of hand, this Times author writes. No hint of shenanigans. It was effortless and mind-boggling. Now, skeptics over the years have accused him of using a confederate, masquerading as a spectator. They call it in the business a stooge. So he would say that they would say that the spectator would have a crib sheet And when the Nine of Clubs was named by one member of the audience, the Stooge would then look at his list and call out 31.
Gotcha.
Because he knew the order of the cards. Mm-hmm. Bergglass always denied this. He says, I've never used a stooge, and as the author of the article points out, no one has ever come forward and said, I stooged for this guy.
But that doesn't quite rule it out.
Now, over the years, a number of magicians have vouched for Bergglass, saying that he did this trick for me just one-on-one in private, and he did it, and I was stupefied. So there is no evidence to support the skeptic's theory. So this reporter goes to this guy's house, and he's trying to get him to do the trick for him, and for a while it doesn't sound like Bergglass is going to do the trick. He's 94, he's over it. And so finally, Bergglass says, all right, there's a drawer behind you. There's some cards in there. I haven't touched them in a long time. So the reporter turns, opens the drawer. He saw three decks in their boxes. So he said, I placed the decks in the middle of the table. He didn't touch any of them. Choose one of these, said the magician. So the reporter picks one. Open it and place it face down in front of you. What was the card and number you mentioned? Seven of diamonds and 44, said the reporter. I'll take a chance, said Bergglass. I might be off by two. So that's a little weird. So the reporter says, I dealt the cards myself, one at a time, face up. By the time I reached the 20th card without seeing the seven of diamonds, I started getting a little antsy, starting to be amazed. When I reached the 30th, I felt the stirrings of astonishment. By the 39th card, I was giddy. 40, 41, 42, I turned over the 43rd card. It was the seven of diamonds. I stared at it, baffled. Baffled because it wasn't spot on. It was one off. Mm-hmm. And Bergglass said, sorry, one off. And wow. He didn't try to sell it as a triumph. He said that he was kind of embarrassed that he was one off.
Hmm.
And as the reporter says, one off on some level is more perplexing than nailing it. Because off by one implies that there's nothing automatic about this trick, that it isn't a contraption that simply works when deployed. And he says it's more like archery, which requires practice and concentration, and it can end with something other than a bullseye. Hmm. So the reporter left really impressed, has no idea how he does it. And that was one-on-one. There were no stooges.
That's pretty great.
The magician didn't touch the cards. The reporter chose the deck. The reporter did the dealing. He was one off. But there's some system, and the magician did say in the interview, he said, asking me to explain this trick is something that's impossible for me to do. That's like asking a composer who just, you know, ad-libs this incredible piece of music how you did it. There's really no answer to that.
So let me get this straight. So the guy named the card and the reporter named the card and the reporter named the number.
Yeah. Seven of diamonds and number 44. And it was number 43, the seven of diamonds.
Hmm.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, something to that.
And what's weird is the magician, when the reporter said seven of diamonds and 44, the magician said, okay, I'll take a chance. I might be off by two. And he was off by one.
Hmm.
I just got chills.
The only thing missing is the Dale laugh track after he does it.
I bet you there's this. The thing with these tricks, though, and I've studied magic a bit, and I have several magic books and have practiced tricks and learned a little bit about magic. The crazy thing is the simple explanations for most tricks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so interesting to me. What's more interesting than the magic to me is the human brain to me. And the way the human brain makes sense of things is the magic. It's your mind tricking yourself, which is where all the magic lies. You know, yes, there's a lot of, some of the tricks involve a lot of skill and sleight of hand, which is very impressive. But they're all capitalizing on about, six or seven different psychological principles.
Hmm.
and you utilize those principles in the audience, and that's how the magic is done.
Mm-hmm.
Is because you know the logic leaps that the brain makes, and you fool everyone's brain because they're looking this way and you're doing this way.
Right.
They're expecting this trick. They're expecting this to be the mechanism by which you accomplish it. So you choose this other mechanism.
Right. You want to see my one magic trick? I'll do this on George. I normally do it with quarters, but I forgot the quarters
right,
today.
You got a penny?
Fernando got a couple of pennies.
That's so beaten. All right, what are you doing over there?
Okay, I'm putting one of the pennies on my thigh.
Okay.
And I'm showing George the other penny.
Okay, one's on your thigh, one's that.
And now I'm covering the penny on my thigh with my hand.
Oh,
yeah, I saw the other penny fly through the air and go back to your hand.
One time. Slide of oh, no, he's failing. The
maybe
pennies
this is why
keep
you need
falling
the quarter.
All over the
yeah,
place.
They're too small. The pennies are too small, but I think I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what did you
yeah,
do?
Yeah, he put... Here, come over here, Gordo.
Okay. All right, George, you want to narrate?
Do yeah, play-by-play? I'll do the play-by-play. Okay. Junior has a penny on his left knee and a penny in his right hand.
Sit down. Sit down. Okay. My son.
He's telling Gordo to sit down in front of him now.
Right knee and a penny in his right hand.
Oh, okay. Now he switched it. Now he's put it down, and he just showed Gordo that he's got two pennies in his right hand.
He asked me to do it one more time because he's baffled.
Left hand down, right hand up, penny goes down.
Okay. It's pretty easy to figure out, but you're pretty baffled, aren't you?
Yeah, so baffled.
That was good. Very baffled. That was very sleight of hand.
Yeah, it's a really great trick.
Balloon animals?
I can't do balloon animals. I can juggle, but that's not really a magician's thing, is it?
Nah, I guess it could be a distraction.
It's impressive.
Or something.
I remember I used to do the card wizard trick. You ever done that one?
Don't think so.
So this works when you have a friend who knows the card wizard trick. Like, let's say Craig knows that when I call him and ask for the card wizard, he's got to be the card wizard. So I'm at a party with you, Giorgio. Craig's okay. Not there.
Okay.
All right? And I have you pick a card out of a deck and okay. Everything. And I use a pretty simple mechanism of I do a peek at the bottom card, you know.
Okay, then you put
and
the card
and so then I do, I do the cut and everything. And so, but it makes it seem like I don't know what card you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I do know what card you have. So then I call the card wizard. I say, you know, I have no idea what card you have. And you saw me. I didn't, you know, do anything weird with the deck and so on. So I do all that selling. And then I say, but the card wizard knows exactly what card you had. Someone who's not even here at this location. And so I call Craig and I say, yes, I'd like to speak to the card wizard. And I go, yes, and I'm here with him now. Okay, I'll put him on the phone. And then I hand you the phone, George, and Craig says, you have the seven of diamonds. So, and you're all freaked out. Like, how did that person who's not even here know what it was? You called somebody in this room. No, Craig's not in this room. You know he's not in this room.
Yeah.
So do you know how it's done?
Do you have a code? Are you speaking in code when you call the wizard?
No, I say, can I speak to the card wizard?
And somehow I say, you make sure that guy gets the card that you've told the card wizard.
No. No. It's all done with, I say, can I speak to the card wizard? And Craig starts with diamonds, clubs. Yes, he's right here, as a matter of fact.
So I cut
him off when he mentions the one, and then he starts going through the numbers.
Interesting.
And then I cut him off again and say, I'll put him on the phone. And so then Craig knows which one to guess because I've stopped him right after he said the correct answer.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But
that used to freak people out. I used to get a lot of mileage out of that one.
So it's a stooge who's not there,
but always ready.
Yeah, that's the card wizard.
Yeah, he just knows when I need the card wizard trick, I'm going to ask for the card wizard.
By the way, I just realized I should explain my coin trick. So I take the coin in one hand and I hold it up to your face so that you're looking at this right hand holding the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Then I pretend to put it in my open palm of my left hand. I close it, and there's no coin in there.
Right.
But now it's very showy, so I take the empty left hand and flash it in front of your face as I open it so that your eyes are drawn there while I'm picking up the coin on my leg
and putting it in
your
right hand.
And well then, executed, yeah.
Then I show the other hand, which now has two coins, and you're mesmerized.
Yeah, it's a good trick play.
I think magic tricks are so fascinating. That dude who was in studio with us, and I can't remember his name, he's a local magician.
Yeah, he was good.
And I brought him on the show after he was on the Mark Cuban show. And he was a guest on the Mark Cuban show, and he freaked me out so much because he could read your mind.
Was it the night Cuban did the Lakers joke?
It may have been. It may have been. And I can't remember the trick that he used to do, but it was so mind-boggling is because he could get you to think of anybody's name, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Think of anybody's name that you've known any time in your life. Or you know what? It could be even someone you've never known. It could be a fictional character or whatever. Just think of their name. And then he looks in your eyes, and he starts writing down the name of the person and everything. But he does the thing about how, okay, I'm looking at your eyes. Okay, I know. Okay, it starts with a T. I can see, by the way, you moved your eyes up to the top right. There's a T there and so on. And he writes it out, and he gets it right every single time.
What the
hell? No matter what word you think
of.
You can do it with names or words or whatever. But he will write it down and show it to you. It's insane.
Wow.
And I'm sure there's some simple mechanism to it, but I've never been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because he writes it down before you reveal it to him. So it's not one of those fake writing, and then he somehow writes it after you've said what the correct answer is.
Hey, let's do magic tricks on each other next week at the compound.
Okay. There's something real childish about that.
Let's make Killer disappear.
God, that would be great.
Leave Killer alone.
All right, coming up next, a deep throat informant deep inside the Mavericks organization.